Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good morning. Welcome to the Stogans and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Ramiro Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogans and Beer Radio Show. Stogans and Beer can be heard most Mondays through Thursdays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Broadcasting live from Chula Vista, California, WBESTWBEST, Chula Vista, California. Time on deck is 8.02 a.m., 45 degrees Fahrenheit. Mostly sunny in San Diego, California. Stogans and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and boast about the sport he or she loves the most. We talk a lot about NFL stuff because this is a football talk show. We talk a lot about NBA, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League scores, NCAA men's and women's basketball scores, USFL, XFL spring football. Today's topic is NBA Tuesday Night Action Recap. The host will debate pro armchair quarterbacks regarding the sport they love the most in front of the live global listening audience. Topics covered will be NBA action from Tuesday night, also scores and action from NCAA men's and women's sports, NHL, and news from NFL and MLB. All right, let's get off into it. Last night, I took a little time to watch some NBA action. Clippers playing the Philadelphia 76ers, which was a good game. At the same time, I took some time to watch the Bucks in the early game against the Toronto Raptors. So that was also a good game. Yeah, so we, again, today's topic, for those of you just tuning in, NBA Tuesday Night Action Recap. And the scores on those games were the early game, the Bucks and the Raptors. Bucks 130, Raptors 122. Bucks 130, Raptors 122. In the late game, you had the Clippers fell to the 76ers. 76ers 120, Clippers 110. Kawhi Leonard had a 27-point game. Again, the 76ers 120 and the Clippers 110. Joel Embiid and the Sixers defeated Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. Also in NBA action, we had the Spurs beat the Nets 106-98. Spurs over the Nets 106-98. In that game, we had a little scuffle with excuse me, people. Some of my coffee went down the wrong way. I apologize about coughing. But we had the Spurs over the Nets 106-98. I believe it was a little scuffle in that matchup with one of the Morris twins. I can't remember which Morris twin it was. It's two of them, one for the Lakers, I believe, and actually one for the Clippers and one for the Nets. But the one that plays with the Nets got into a scuffle with the young man. I forgot his name, but he's a Dennis Rodman lookalike with the blonde hair and the spots in his head. Dennis Rodman looked like he played a little bit, you know, used some dirty tactics last night, I believe. Like Dennis Rodman used to use a couple playground tactics, you know, and tackled Morris Senior down to the ground. Or it could have went vice versa. I just saw the highlight. So I don't want to pin the guy to say he made a dirty tactic or a playground tactic. I'll just say two guys got into a scuffle on the floor, but the guy for the Spurs looks like Dennis Rodman with his hairdo, so it kind of like made me think that's something that the Worm would have did back in the day. But also in NBA action, we had the Nuggets over the Trailblazers 122-113. The Denver Nuggets over the Portland Trailblazers 122-113. So it looked like Jokic pulled it off over Dame time. I don't even know if Damian Lillard is playing right now, but I know that, again, like I said, the Nuggets over the Trailblazers 122-113. If you'd like to call into the show and debate the host about any of this stuff, you can call into the show and talk and debate the host about any of these different topics. And the call-in line is going to be 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. I'm trying something new, people, so bear with me. I'm trying this. Number one, I'm talking directly into my switchboard, into the microphone, into my console, rather than on the phone, because the other day my voice was sounding kind of muddied and like somebody had a pillow over my face and I was talking through a pillow or something at certain points of the show. So I had about 7 or 8 minutes of that, and I'm not gonna do that. I need to make sure that my audio is clear. I'm thinking about getting a microphone for my console and talking directly into that, or it's probably time for a new cell phone, because I try to use my cell phone to talk. It's better quality. But anyway, let's hope that this comes off pretty clear without too much popping and everything into this mic in my studio console. And hopefully I'm sounding loud and clear to you. If not, please call into the show and let me know if you're hearing me okay, because we always like to put a good product out for the people. If you're going to tune in, take the time to tune in to me and give me some statistics, give me some numbers. I want to make sure I'm giving you a good product when you have to listen to me. Yeah, so we was giving you some NBA scores from last night and everything like that. Again, we had the Clippers. In the late game, they fell to the 76ers 120-110. Joel Embiid and Harden stopped Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. It was good to see Kawhi Leonard and Paul George on the court together. It was good to see Leonard and George on the court together. Tough game, but for some whatever reason, the Sixers were just a little bit better last night. But I think that's all going to come down to the fact that they haven't been able to play a lot together, because both of them been kind of injured. Kawhi having his injuries out with load management. I think he was still dealing with some knee stiffness from when he had surgery last season, if I'm correct. And then Paul George, I forgot what it was with him. I know at one time he had a shoulder injury or something, but I don't know if that was bothering him this time. I can't remember what his specific injury is, but nevertheless, they both were on the court last night playing, and it's good to see them on the court playing again together. And I think that, you know, they'll get their chemistry and their rhythm down as we move up closer to the All-Star break And, you know, once February hits, you know, that's all-star break time. So in about 2 weeks, those guys will get a break. They'll get a break in there in about 2 or 3 weeks, somewhere up in there. And then it's all about March, April, and May, making that big push in March, April, and May, going into the postseason. So hopefully we won't be dealing with a play-in tournament. Hopefully we're going to be trying to, you know, fight for, you know, a fifth seed, at least a fifth seed at the lowest, you know, a fifth seed or above. And I think that we have the talent on that team to do it. But we'll see what happens. I watched the Bucks. I think they're still struggling a little bit without Chris Middleton, but they pulled it off. They pulled it off last night. They had a little scuffle last night too in that matchup with Brooke Lopez and somebody else, some young man on the Toronto Raptors. I think they tossed Brooke Lopez for getting into the scuffle, and then on top of that, taking off the guy's headband. So I think they hit him with two techs, so he wound up getting thrown out of the game. But the Bucks still were able to pull it off. The Raptors could have came back and won that game. But let me make sure I'm saying this right, because if I'm correct, the Bucks won. Yeah, they did win. Bucks 130, Raptors 122. That's what I thought. And but they had an opportunity. The Toronto Raptors had an opportunity to still win that game. I think they had like about 28 seconds left in the fourth quarter. And one of the guys was at the free throw line. He missed one, made the other. Then I believe that if they'd have made both of those, I think they would have put them within four points or somewhere up in there. But then they wound up doing a quick foul. I think, you know, somebody fouled too quick. I forgot who that was on the Raptors. But anyway, I believe it was VanVleet. I believe VanVleet fouled one of the Sixers too quick and put them back on the line. And then they went back up like about, what was it, like about 6 points or somewhere up in there. So, you know, when it was all said and done, the Bucks was able to pull it off 130 to 122. But they're still missing Chris Middleton, although it's not showing much to me because Jrue Holiday is playing his butt off. So, you know, you got Jrue Holiday. He's stepping in there for Middleton. You know, he's the guy now that Middleton's out. And then, you know, they still got Bobby Porter. They still got Giannis. You know, Giannis going to do his thing. Brooke Lopez going to do his thing. Bobby Porter going to do his thing. So, I mean, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, they'll be all right. But I was hearing the media experts were saying last night that the Bucks, they don't play well this time of year. They don't play well in January. Since Giannis been there and since Giannis has emerged as the captain of that team, the leader of that team, they were saying that, if I'm correct, the media experts said that Giannis made the statement that they don't play well in January. So, again, like I was saying about the Clippers, maybe it's going to be after the All-Star break, once Middleton gets back, everybody's healthy, then it'll be more like, you know, March, April, May. That's when they're going to make their push as well in the East to try to, you know, get, you know, that, you know, try to be in the third seed, fifth seed, somewhere up in there. Knowing the Bucks, they'll probably wind up being a third seed. It'll probably be something like, in my opinion, I don't know the records right now off the top of my head, but in my opinion, it'll be like, let's say, number one, the Celtics, number two, the Cavaliers, number three, the Bucks. It'll go something like that, in my opinion. Number four, the Nets. It'll go like that. Those are top four seeds I see coming out of the East going into the playoff scenario. In the West, I see it being more like number one, and this is just me being biased and hindsight because I love all things Louisiana. The Pelicans at the number one seed. The Utah Jazz at the number two seed. The number three seed in the West will probably be, let me see, somebody else who gives us hell in the West. The Nuggets, number three seed. Number four seed, I'm just, you know, this is just me thinking in hindsight, you know, just thinking ahead a little bit. The number four seed in the West will probably be, I would love to say the Lakers, but it won't be. It's probably going to be the Clippers. So in the West, my playoff scenario, top four seeds, Pelicans, Jazz, somebody else. Oh, I was just saying, I'm thinking off the top of my head, people, so forgive me. I said the Pelicans, the Jazz, the Nuggets. Right after that, the fourth seed would be Golden State Warriors. Fifth seed, I'm hoping, will be the Clippers. Fifth seed in the East will probably be the Knicks in the East. Fifth seed in the East probably be the Knicks. So I'm on both sides of that. My lowest fives for the East would be the Clippers right alongside them. In the West would be the Clippers, and the East would be the New York Knicks. That's my predictions for the playoff scenario, top five seeds. I'm not really worried so much about 6, 7, and 8 because they're going to, you know, I believe the 8 seed you have to battle for in the playoff play-in tournament. And then, you know, like I said, 8, 7, and 6, they got to go up and get 8 by the big boys. So that's just how they go. I don't really worry about anything below the top 5. If you're not top 5, you know, the chances of you making it to the championship get slimmer. So I'm not really going to bust my brain trying to figure out who's going to take those spots. If I think hard enough, I can come up with an idea of who might get those lower seeds. But I'm just going to focus on the top 5. Yeah, so that's kind of like where I'm at. It's kind of like where I'm at with everything, with the playoff scenario. But going off into some more NBA stuff, who we got today? Come on. We got the matchups for today is going to be, we got the Hawks and the Mavericks today at 4:30 p.m. I'm assuming these are all Pacific times. Hawks and the Mavericks. We got the Wizards and the Knicks. Knicks should pull that one off. Mavericks and the Hawks. The Mavericks should be able to take care of them. Take care of the Hawks. We got the Hornets and the Rockets. That's a toss-up, though both of those teams are struggling. We got the Pacers and the Thunder. I think the Pacers might take out the Thunder, but the last couple games I've seen the Thunder playing look like they've been doing pretty good, so that's probably going to be a toss-up. But if I had to put money on it, I'd say the Pacers will edge them out. We got the Heat and the Pelicans. That's going to be a good one, but I got to go with my Pelicans. Cavaliers and the Grizzlies. I think the Cavaliers will take the Grizzlies, but that's a toss-up also because the Grizzlies are tough with Ja Morant. But, you know, the Cavaliers, they got, you know, my man Spider Mitchell and his crew. We got the Clippers and the Jazz. I think right now I'll take the Jazz over the Clippers. I hate to say that because the Clippers are my team. Like I said, I love all things San Diego and all things Louisiana. And the Clippers used to be in San Diego. They were the San Diego Clippers until they moved. So I got to go with the Clippers. But I think the Jazz will take them. The Timberwolves and the Nuggets. I'm not going to go against Jokic. I'm going to say the Nuggets will win that one. And then the Kings and somebody. Let's see, the Kings and the Lakers. I'm going to take the Lakers. The Kings had that's a toss-up. The Kings had the ability to beat the Lakers, but I'm going to say the Lakers. I think the Lakers are going to take them out. LeBron James been playing his butt off, and Russell Wilson been playing his butt off too. I think they'll edge the Kings out and get a win. So, yeah, that's my predictions. That's my prediction for tonight. And, again, in yesterday's action, Bucks-Raptors. Bucks won 130 over the Raptors, 122. And the Spurs won 106-98 over the Nets. And the Nuggets won 122-113 over the Trailblazers. And the Clippers lost to the 76ers. 76ers over the Clippers, 120-110. So that's my NBA stuff for today. And in a minute, we'll get off into some hockey scores and men's and women's basketball. I don't have any breaking news right now for baseball. I know they had the international draft last week, and the San Diego Padres picked up a kid. What was this kid out of? was he out of Dominican Republic or somewhere? He's somewhere in Latin America. The Padres had a big international signing. I think they paid the kid about $5 million or so. Probably going to start him off in AAA or somewhere like that. But yeah, it's that's all I got for Major League Baseball. Got a lot of news going on for NFL. You know, of course, everybody right now is trying to figure out, is the GOAT coming back? All this stuff like that. Tom Brady, you know, he doesn't have to do anything. That's a good thing about Tom Brady. He doesn't have to do anything. All he has to do is just make money. If he wants to come back and play, that's an option. If he wants to just kick back and just, you know, talk sports on TV, the media experts are saying he got a $375 million deal just to talk sports, you know, on Fox. So, you know, it's not like the great one is hurting for any money. It's just a matter about, is he going to be able to be at home preparing his notes as a media expert now versus preparation for the play? And when you're great, you want to be in the room with the boys. You don't want to be in the room holding the microphone. You want to be in the back. And I know all about being in the back because I used to be a pro rec league level athlete, you know, and it always feels good when you're a part of the show. When I used to box, I wasn't one of the guys that sitting in the stands. I was in the back prepping to get in the ring. So, and when you're in the back prepping to get in the ring, at least at the amateur level, like I said, I never went pro. I wanted to go pro, but it never worked out for me based on my not being disciplined. But as I was fighting as a amateur, I at least got up to the open level. I got up to the open level. If you look at, I think you had to have four fights in the amateurs, then you're open. And I had about that many. So I guess I could be considered an open fighter. And I had enough contests to at least have the experience in the back to know that, hey, I'm in the back. You know, I'm in the back with the guys. I'm in the room with the boys. Everybody, you know, red corner, blue corner, you know, everybody's kind of like getting ready to go and getting hyped up, you know. And it's like when you're in the back, you feel, you know, you're a warrior. So I understand Tom Brady saying that it's kind of hard to switch from being in the back in the locker room with the fellas, and then now you're on the microphone passing the mic interviewing guys that'll probably never be better than you. Tom Brady seems like one of those guys that he's going to have to be forced to retire due to injury. I think as long as he's healthy enough to get out there and be a part of it, you know, he'll want to be a part of it. I'm trying to figure, would he be better served coaching? I mean, as your skills start to diminish, then you're dealing with salary cap stuff to where they can't probably put enough people around you to help you win or to keep you competitive. You have to start thinking about stuff like, hey, is there any point in me coming back if I'm not going to have the right offensive line? The offensive line needs to be fixed. They paid a lot of guys for this year. So Tom Brady will be able to come back, but some of those guys probably need to be unloaded and bring in some new younger talent out the draft. I don't know. But there's a lot of questions to be answered there. But the biggest thing is everybody's wondering what the GOAT going to do. You know, but whatever Tom Brady decides to do, he's paid. That's the good thing about it. He doesn't have the problems that the average American has as far as like, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to keep my car? How am I going to do all these different things? Those aren't Tom Brady problems. Of course, you know, he has some family issues, which most the average American has, you know, family and relationship issues. You know, that's common. That's just life. That's just living. That's life between two people. However, He was able to bounce back from a lot of that stuff and win the division. He made sure my beloved, he said in his mind, I'm going to represent the NFC South in the playoffs, and we're going to try to advance. However, Dak Prescott and the boys said no to the GOAT. Dak and the boys said no to the GOAT. And I'm going to go off into a little bit of that after I take a break, because I didn't get to do my show yesterday because it was some technical malfunctions within the system at Blog Talk, which you thank God we got fixed before the show this morning. We was able to get everything squared away because Blog Talk doesn't have a real-time staff. It takes about 24 hours to troubleshoot. But they were able to get me some tutorials, and the tutorials worked. How they worked, I don't know, because what they were telling me to fix was already correct. But I just went through the steps anyway, and, you know, everything got rebooted, and here we go again. But I'm kind of glad it happened because I was able to take a probably a much-needed break yesterday. But at the same time, I had a great show planned yesterday, which was called Super Wild Card. I forgot what I called it because I deleted it. But anyway, it was like Dak says no. Dak and the boys says no to Brady and the Bucks. And basically, I was just saying, you know, that Dak came out and played an awesome game. I was trying to let everybody know that Dak came out and looked like he was in Super Bowl form, people. He looked like he was in Super Bowl form. If Dak Prescott plays like he played against the Buccaneers, if he plays that way against the 49ers, if that defense plays that way, if Dak plays that way using his tight ends, his big tight ends, Schultz and the other young man, I'm going to tell you something. The Cowboys look like they Super Bowl ready. I'm going to be honest with y'all. The Cowboys look Super Bowl ready to me. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see. But we're going to take some time to go off into a quick station break. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Stogies and Beer Radio Show, and I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stogies and Beer Radio Show. And we'll be back. We're going to go off into some stuff that I didn't get to go over yesterday, football related. We'll cover some of the topics coming across the monitor in the NFL. We'll talk about, again, Dak and the boys say no to the GOAT and the Bucks. And we'll also talk about it was another game I wanted to discuss, the Jags and the Chargers. I wanted to discuss that too. So, you know, the Dolphins was another one I was going to discuss, you know. So I'll go over everything, all the different topics and everything like that I was going to talk about yesterday on the show that I missed. But the main one for yesterday was going to be the Cowboys and the Cowboys defeating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Tom Brady, I'm not Tom Brady, but Dak Prescott, he looked awesome. I mean, Dak was using his legs, and I think that's what they couldn't account for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They was, because Dak, when I see Dak, he's usually an in-the-pocket type of guy. Stand in the pocket, because he's not a short guy. He got good size. Stand in the pocket and get the ball downfield or you know, get the ball to the sticks. He's not that type of guy that's running all the time for a first down. But the other night, Monday night, he was running for that first down. I mean, he was playing Russell Wilson type of football. He was playing Lamar Jackson type of football. I'm going to use my legs. And I think that threw him off. They didn't know if it was going to be Pollard. They didn't know if it was going to be Zeke. They didn't know if it was going to be Prescott in the run game, in the passing game. They didn't know that it was if it was going to be CeeDee Lamb. They didn't know if it was going to be the two big tight ends. I mean, the Cowboys was hitting them guys from all different directions. Yeah, the kicker had a bad night. You know, everybody has a bad night. But he's been good all season. He'll be fine. He'll be fine for the next game. But the question is, can the Cowboys do the same thing against Purdy, who they're saying he's pretty darn good, and the 49ers? Because then they got to deal with Debo. They got to deal with, I'm quite sure they're going to put Diggs on Debo, And Diggs is probably, you know, in the locker room right now saying, hey, put me on Debo. I'm going to shut him down. That's my assignment. Put me on Debo. Put me on Big Bad Debo. That's my assignment. I'm quite sure Diggs is up for that challenge, just like he was up for that challenge against Mike Evans the other night. Mike Evans didn't get much. He didn't get much. So, you know, I think he only got one good play against Diggs. I think Julio Jones scored, but I don't think that was on Diggs. I think it was on somebody else in the secondary. But I'm going to tell you something. We'll get back into this when I come back. For those of you just tuning in, this is the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Today's topic is NBA Tuesday Night Action Recap, the host of Debate Pro Armchair Quarterbacks regarding the sport they love the most in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered will be NBA. We've done that from Tuesday Night Action. And scores and action from NCAA men's and women's sport. We'll get off into that when we come back. NHL scores and news, we'll come back into that. And NFL and MLB, we covered MLB already, just international signings. I think I only had one lately with the San Diego Padres. And, of course, I'm all thinking San Diego because I live here. So the San Diego Padres had an international baseball signing. I believe he's going down to the AAA. They gave him like a $5 million contract to sign. The kid was 16 years old, if I'm correct. So he got about $5 million. That's going to change his family's life over there in Latin America. If I'm correct, he's over there somewhere in Latin America. And we're currently talking about some NFL topics that we should have went over yesterday. But since I couldn't do my show yesterday, we got to do it today. So anyway, we'll be back. We're going to get off into some music mix, and we'll be back. Stand by.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Welcome back to the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. And that was just our music mix by my man, DJ Keith Chronic, San Diego's number one underground DJ, DJ Keith Chronic. If you want to go to my Twitter page and scroll down through my my likes and everything, DJ Keith Chronic is gonna be having a book release. You got a book release coming out. And if you want more information about getting his book, you can hit me up on Twitter at Ferran Sports. It's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D at Ferran Sports on Twitter. And you can DM me and I'll get you more information on San Diego's number one underground DJ, DJ Keith Chronic. And get a copy of his brand new book. I'll get the title of the book before we get off air and everything like that to let you know more about his he got a book coming out. He also got a hot CD out right now. You can get it on Amazon, Spotify, different stuff like that. I'll give you some more information on that. But DJ Keith Chronic is one of the guys that when I was in the music business that helped me out a lot. Mentored me, we've done some business together, different things like that. But he also has his clothing line, In the Trunk Clothing, and you can look that up on Twitter as well. In the capital N, D-A, capital D-A, T-R-U-N-K, In the Trunk, all three separate words, In the Trunk Clothing. On you can look that up on Facebook, and you can look that up on Twitter as well. But I'll get you his tags and everything before we get up out of here, if time permits, and also get you some information on his book, if time permits. But, yeah, you know, they're across the monitor in NFL News, Mad Dog is, you know, they're talking about across, on the monitor, the media experts are saying, is Staley still a good fit for the Chargers, basically? And I'm just like, you know, I mean, I believe in giving the guy at least a couple years. All this hiring these coaches just to fire them, that doesn't work for me. If you hire a young coach, you're going to have young coach mistakes. I don't think that it's something to where you need to be hiring these guys. Then every time it don't work out right away, you want to fire them. You want to get rid of them. That doesn't work for the organization. You got to give a guy a chance. I don't want to say that it was so much the coach's fault, although the Chargers just fired their offensive coordinator, Lombardi. His name was Joe Lombardi. They fired him, and they kept the coach. I don't think it had anything to do with the offense. I don't know why they fired Lombardi. They scored 27 points in the first half. Defensively, it was a defensive letdown on the players. I don't think it had anything to do with the defensive coordinator or the head coach. And I think the head coach might be the defensive coordinator too, but even if it's not, you know, Trevor Lawrence just came out and played a hell of a game. But I mean, the coaches can only coach. Defensive players, they got to be able to do the assignment. So coaches in the NFL, they got a rough job. That's why Harbaugh didn't jump out there at the opportunity to go and coach in the NFL, because, you know, college coaches, they don't get fired that quick. College coaches get a chance. They get a chance to prove themselves at least for about 4 years. After about 4 to 6 years of losing, they'll probably go ahead and get rid of you. And, you know, they give you severance pay and all that stuff. In the NFL, you know, you get your severance package and you get all that stuff too, but it's just, you know, it's just a little bit different. It's like they want you to win now. You don't have a chance to mess around. You don't have a chance to just be like, okay, well, we're gonna get better in the next couple seasons and all that stuff. That ain't the way the NFL works. NFL works like, if you don't win now, we need to find another coach. And that now the NFL really does mean not for long. It really does mean not for long. So, I mean, I don't know. It's crazy. But I don't think that the Chargers should have fired any of that coaching staff. They really hadn't been there that long. And it was just a defensive letdown. It's the playoffs. I mean, you know, playoffs, somebody going to lose. Somebody going to lose or go home. I mean, if you get to the playoffs, I mean, that's kind of like something big. You got to the postseason. Yeah, the Chargers have been historically known to lay an egg in the postseason. Many years we got put out by the Kansas City Chiefs. Many years. And that's when we had Marty Schottenheimer as our coach, and he was the former coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. But many years we got put out by the Kansas City Chiefs. But the other night against the Jacksonville Jaguars, I mean, the Jaguars won their division. We didn't, because we're in the same division with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. We got a wild card game, cleared our spot, but we had to go and play a rough and tough, ready Jacksonville Jaguars, who had a win over the Dallas Cowboys and the Tennessee Titans. Trevor Lawrence is the real deal, people. He was the real deal coming out of college. He had Urban Meyer the first year, who was a great college coach, but for whatever reason, him at the pro level didn't work out. You know, it didn't work out. I thought that he would, because Urban Meyer, if I'm correct, was a quarterback himself in the Canadian League, if I'm correct. So, I mean, it's not like he doesn't know the position. And he knows how to talk, regardless if he was a quarterback or not in college or in the pros. He's a hell of a college coach. He had Tim Tebow. And he had, we thought that he'd do a great job with Trevor Lawrence. Speaking of Tim Tebow was in camp last year with Trevor Lawrence. And then it wound up cutting him. You know, he think he's playing tight end. They had him trying to play tight end. But, you know, I don't think Tebow did too good at that position. They showed some snafus that he had in camp. But nevertheless, Trevor Lawrence had a mentor in Tim Tebow, and he also had a great college coach that could speak the language that Trevor Lawrence had just came from, which was college language. And he tried to develop him best as he could, but it didn't work out with him being in charge of everything. Speaking of Urban Meyer, didn't work out with him being in charge of everything, running the whole team. But he got dismissed. They bring in Doug Peterson this year. Doug Peterson, you know, I love all things Louisiana and San Diego. If you watch this show, Doug Peterson came out of Shreveport, Louisiana. He won a high school, Louisiana high school state championship in Shreveport, Louisiana, if I'm correct. He also played quarterback at La Monroe, University of Louisiana Monroe, which used to be back in the day, probably when he played, was called Northeast Louisiana University, NLU, Northeast Louisiana University. And he played there. But Doug Peterson has been known to take a quarterback like a Nick Foles, like a Carson Wentz, and win a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl. This man had won a state high school championship, and he's also won the Super Bowl. They bring him in. He gets with Trevor Lawrence, and they didn't have a great season. It was shaky starting off. But, you know, past mid-season, they started winning some games. Next thing you know, when they start winning some games, the team started believing in themselves. Next thing you know, they win their division. That's why they was able to host. They was able to host the game. They won their division. The Chargers had to come see them. They didn't come to SoFi. We had to go to Jacksonville. Chargers was up 27-0 going into the half. What happened? Moment got too big for the defense. Now you can argue that, oh, Mike Williams should have been in there. He got hurt. I don't think Mike Williams would have made much of a difference. At the same time, Joey Bosa, he tweaked his groin, but I think Joey Bosa was playing a heck of a game. The defense whatever offense Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars led by Doug Peterson was running, the Chargers just couldn't make the adjustments. But, you know, when it comes down to offense and defense, the defense is always the victim. The defense is always a scapegoat because the defense don't know what the offense is going to do. You can only anticipate what they're going to do. The offense knows exactly what they're going to do. And that's on both sides of the field. When the Jacksonville Jaguars defense is out there, we put up 27 points on them. If I'm correct, they were all offensive touchdowns. Although we scored on some turnovers, if I'm correct, from Jacksonville. I mean, our defense anticipated very well in the first half against Trevor Lawrence because he threw four picks. He threw four picks in the first half. But they made the adjustments on offense and came back, and our defense couldn't anticipate what their offense was doing in the second half, and that led to a late field goal and a win for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I knew that was going to be a tough game. I knew it was going to be a tough game. It's just the way it is. Then you had Saquon Barkley. Saquon over over Kirk Cousins and the Vikings. Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley over over Kirk Cousins, Dalvin Cook, and Jefferson. They put them down. They said no. Kirk Cousins wasn't running around, you know, with the bling bling on the plane with no shirt on. He wasn't hitting it all up in the camera's face saying, "You like that? You like that?" It wasn't none of that stuff. They got sat down by the New York Giants. Saquon Barkley had a heck of a game. Now they're asking the question, can the Giants go out there and do the same thing against the Eagles? I don't know. It's the playoffs. And I'm going to be honest. All these different teams that barely made it in, the Dolphins, they hung with the Bills. The Seahawks, I believe they were up going into the half. Although they, you know, took a beating in the second half. But, I mean, this is the playoffs, people. I'm not surprised that these lower seeded teams are coming out here banging with these higher seeded teams. I'm not surprised about that, not one bit. Because at the end of the day, it's like, you know, this is the playoffs. These coaches are pulling out all the stops. People are getting healthy and coming back into the lineup. All kind of different things are going on when you're talking about playoff scenarios. And then it's a win or go home mentality. It's like, okay, you got two teams on the field that made the postseason. Somebody got to go home. And it's up to the players to decide, are we going home or are the people across from us going home? It's up to them to decide. I'm going to go off into some NHL scores here real quick, you know, for all my NHL listeners out there. We had yesterday the Flyers over the Ducks 5-2. Flyers over the Ducks 5-2. We had the Wild over the Capitals 4-2. Wild over the Capitals 4-2. We had the Maple Leafs over the Panthers 5-4. Maple Leafs over the Panthers 5-4. Canadiens 4, Jets 1. Canadiens over the Jets 4-1. We had the Predators over the Blue Jackets 2-1. Predators over the Blue Jackets 2-1. We had the Blackhawks over the Sabres 4-3. Blackhawks over the Sabres 4-3. What else you got here? We had the Kraken. They lost to the Oilers 5-2. Oilers over the Kraken 5-2. Oilers over the Kraken 5-2. And we had the Coyotes over the Red Wings 4-3. Coyotes over the Red Wings 4-3. Today in NHL matchups, we're going to have the Penguins and the Senators going to go at it at 4 p.m. The Bruins and the Islanders 4:30 p.m. The Avalanche and the Flames 6:30 p.m. The Stars and the Sharks 7 p.m. Lightning and the Canucks 7 p.m. Again, Lightning and the Canucks today at 7 p.m. The Sharks and the Stars today at 7 p.m. The Flames and the Avalanche today at 6:30 p.m. The Islanders and the Bruins 4:30 p.m. and the Senators and the Penguins 4 p.m. That's all in NHL action. Yeah, but across the monitor, it's just a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of talk. You know, they got new Cardinals general manager saying ego would not be tolerated in this organization. New Cardinals general manager, ego would not be tolerated in this organization. Was this comment directed at Kyler Murray? Yeah. He's the only one on the field running around yelling at coaches. And they're trying to say, do we need to include Kyler Murray into our coaching search? They just need a hard-nosed coach that's willing to sit Kyler Murray down. But the problem in the NFL is this. The problem in the NFL is this. How do you sit down a guy that the owner is paying all this money to? How do you sit him down? How do you sit down a guy that the owner is paying millions and millions of dollars to just because he got an attitude problem and don't want to listen to the coach? I mean, Dan Marino got into it with the coach a lot of times on the sideline, you know, or didn't agree with what the coach is trying to run. And, you know, based on, then these are just rumors I've heard, you know, Dan Marino and the coaching staff, Dan Marino would get a play and they'd be like, that's stupid. Why are we running that? Stuff like that. You know, you got, when guys got talent, you know, sometimes you got to put up with their ego. Kyler Murray has talent. I mean, undersized quarterback, but let's be honest. He got wheels. He can get out of a sticky situation and get you a first down, people. But the new Cardinals general manager saying ego will not be tolerated in this organization. The media experts want to know, was this comment directed at Kyler Murray? I think so. It was an ugly scene when he was telling his coach, who just got recently fired in the last couple weeks. He was telling his coach, calm the bleep down. Well, the coach is trying to relay something to you. And this is the reason why they were telling you that it needed to be in your contract to study your playbook 2 hours a night. You had to study or stay in the facility and study 2 hours a night because they want you to understand how to read defense. On Hard Knocks on HBO in season with the Arizona Cardinals, it was showing where, who was that, Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins was like, hey, man, I was open downfield. You didn't see me? You didn't see that? He's like, ask him, what's going on, man? You not seeing me open? What's going on? You got to give me the ball. And I think Kyler Murray, you know, was a little bit, how would I say it? He wasn't receptive to it. He didn't start getting into an argument with him, but it was just like, he was just kind of like, man, you know, you just got here type of thing. You just got here. Let me do my thing. You just got here. I've been here. This is my team. Let me do my thing. If I see you, I'll throw it to you. If I don't understand the defense and I don't see you, oh, well, don't worry about it. I'm going to get us out of a jam and get us a first down. All I'm here to do is make sure we get first downs and make sure we eventually score. It's not just to pad your stats. He was basically letting Hopkins know, in so many words, in my opinion, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not here to help you stat. Pad your stats. That ain't what I'm here for. This is my team. Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray, they've been down that road a long time. And I think he's like been in his life for a good minute. College, maybe coming out of high school, you know, they have some type of relationship, like, you know, to where they had a rapport, even though Kyler Murray went off on him, you know, telling him to calm the bleep down. But whenever you got a coach that got a relationship with a player like that, I don't think it's a good thing because the player's always, he knows what he can get away with. Now, if they brought somebody a hard-nosed coach, and somebody like a Harbaugh or somebody like a Mike Ditka type, which I can say maybe Harbaugh is more like today's today's Mike Ditka. Those type of coaches don't want to hear the quarterback opening his mouth. Same thing with Bill Belichick. Kyler Murray couldn't do that with Bill Belichick. He just said, you're benched. Sit down. Go sit down. And the owner would have had to deal with that. Because nobody wants to hear their quarterback, their still fairly young quarterback. Kyler Murray been in the league probably 3 years, I think. That's fine. I don't think it's been 4 years. He's been in the league about 3 years now. But the thing about Murray is you got to be willing to accept coaching. You got to be willing to accept responsibility, meaning if the team put in your contract, study the freaking playbook. That's just, if that's what the job requires, study the freaking playbook. So I don't disagree that they put that in as a stipulation. I think the media experts are saying that one of the players on the team was like, they should have left that stipulation in. They should have left the stipulation in that he study his playbook. So he can know how to read defense. The quarterback has to know how to read defense. Somebody told me a long time ago, even at the Pop Warner level, one of the coaches that was he did a lot of coaching here in San Diego. He said, I always tell my defense to know where the safety is. Locate the safety. Where is the safety at? That's what he told me. And maybe that's what, I'm going to throw that advice out there to Kyler Murray. Not to say that I know what I'm talking about, but I'm going to just throw that out there. Maybe that's something to consider. When you're studying defense, know where your safety is. Know where the help is coming from. And then you might be able to hit the target that's open or the target that you decide to hit if you know where that safety is at. Now, I ain't no defensive coordinator, so I don't know how true that is. But somebody out there probably listening to this show probably know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you'd like to call in and talk about that, call in area code 515-602-9687. Call in area code 515-602-9687 so you can correct me or debate me on any of these topics that we're talking about. I'm going to take a minute to get off into some NCAA men's and women's action before we take another station break. And what we got here for NCAA men's scores yesterday, NCAA men's basketball top 25, we had number 9 Tennessee 70, Mississippi State 59. Number 9 Tennessee over Mississippi State 70-59. We had number 1 Houston over Tulane. Number 1 Houston 80, Tulane 60. Houston 80, Tulane 60. We had number 4 Alabama over Vanderbilt 78-66. Number 4 Alabama over Vanderbilt 78-66. What else we got here? Bear with me, people. I'm doing something new today. Then we had number 21 Baylor over Texas Tech 81-74. Number 21 Baylor over Texas Tech 81-74. And we also had number 2 Kansas over number 13 Kansas State. I'm sorry, number 2 Kansas lost to number 13 Kansas State 83-82. So that was an upset. Number 13 Kansas State 83, number 2 Kansas 82. So Kansas being ranked number 2 fell to number 13 Kansas State 83-82. Congratulations Kansas State on a big win. You guys had a hell of a football team this year, too, winning the Big 12 championship over TCU. And then we got number 12, Iowa State, over number 7, Texas. Over number 7, Texas. Number 12, Iowa State, over number 7, Texas, 78-67. Number 12, Iowa State, 78. Number 7, Texas, 67. We got Wake Forest, 87. And number 19, Clemson, 77. Wake Forest, 87. Number 19, Clemson, 77. So unranked Wake Forest defeated number 19, Clemson, 87-77. So maybe that might help Wake Forest get a ranking. That might help get them in a top 25 ranking right there. Today in men's basketball, we're going to have in top 25 men's basketball, we have number 15 Connecticut over Seton, number 15 Connecticut against Seton Hall, 3:30 p.m. Virginia Tech and number 10 Virginia at 4 p.m. today. We'll have number 16, Auburn, and LSU playing at 4 p.m. today. Number 14, TCU, and West Virginia playing at 4 p.m. today. Number 8, Xavier and DePaul playing at 5:30 p.m. today. Number 25, Arkansas and Missouri, 6 p.m. today. Number 22, Providence, and number 20, Marquette, 6 p.m. today. So that Providence-Marquette game should be a pretty good game. That'll be number 22, Providence, playing number 20, Marquette, at 6 p.m. today. Number 8, Xavier and DePaul, again, 5:30 p.m. today. Number 16, Auburn and LSU. That's a big SEC matchup, at 4 p.m. today. Number 15, Connecticut and Seton Hall, today at 3:30 p.m. Virginia Tech and number 10, Virginia, 4 p.m. today. And TCU, number 14, TCU and West Virginia, 4 p.m. today. And number 25 again, number 25, Arkansas and Missouri, 6 p.m. today. So that's what's going down there. In women's basketball, in women's top 25, yesterday we had number 5, Connecticut, 103, Seton Hall, 58. That's in women's basketball, top 25. Number 5, Connecticut, 103, Seton Hall, 58. And Xavier, 38. Number 22, Villanova, 76. So number 22, Villanova defeated Xavier, 76-38 in women's top 25 action. So now, today we're going to have in women's top 25 action, we'll have number 10, Iowa and Michigan State, 4 p.m. today. Number 10, Iowa and Michigan State, 4 p.m. today. And we'll have number 15, Oklahoma and TCU at 4:30 p.m. today. Number 6, Indiana. Number 21, Illinois at 5 p.m. today. And Oklahoma State. And number 18, Iowa State at 4:30 p.m. Number 25, Texas and Texas Tech at 5 p.m. today. Again, number 25, Texas and Texas Tech, 5 p.m. today. Number 18, Iowa State and Oklahoma State, 4:30 p.m. today. Number 21, Illinois and number 6, Indiana, 5 p.m. today. Number 15, Oklahoma and TCU, 4:30 p.m. today. Ranked number 10, Iowa and Michigan State, 4 p.m. today. So that's NCAA women's top 25 scores. And going back into my NBA scores really quick while I'm here. In yesterday's action, we had the Bucks over the Raptors, 130 to 122. Bucks over the Raptors, 130 to 122. We had the Nuggets over the Trailblazers, 122-113. Again, Nuggets over the Trailblazers, 122-113. We had the Spurs over the Nets, 106-98. Spurs over the Nets, 106-98. The Clippers fell to the 76ers, 120-110. 76ers beat the Clippers, 120-110. In today's action, this evening, we're going to have the Lakers and the Kings are going to go at it, 7:30 p.m. Lakers and the Kings, 7:30 p.m. We'll have the Clippers and the Jazz at 6 p.m. Clippers and the Jazz, 6 p.m. We have the Timberwolves and the Nuggets, 7 p.m. Timberwolves and the Nuggets, 7 p.m. The Cavaliers and the Grizzlies, 5 p.m. Cavaliers, Grizzlies, 5 p.m. Heat Pelicans, 5 p.m. Heat and the Pelicans, 5 p.m. I want to see that one. Hopefully my Pelicans can pull that one out. Hopefully the Lakers also can beat the Kings, hopefully. Then we're going to have Hornets and the Rockets at 5 p.m. Hornets and the Rockets, 5 p.m. Pacers and the Thunder, 5 p.m. Pacers and the Thunder, 5 p.m. We'll have the Mavericks and the Hawks, 4:30 p.m. I think Luka will be able to handle Ice Trey and his crew very easily. Mavericks and the Hawks, 4:30 p.m. Then we got Julius Randle and the Knicks going up against the Wizards at 4:30 p.m. today. Knicks-Wizards, 4:30 p.m. today. I got to get with my man DC and find out if they're going to pull that game off. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's all my scores and everything for today. When I get back, we'll talk about some more stuff coming across the monitor. They're trying to still figure out in the NFL news where is Sean Payton going to coach at. Reports, Broncos, Cardinals, Texans, Panthers interested in Payton. What should a head coach look for in an organization? A team with an offensive line and a quarterback. But one thing Sean Payton said to one of the media experts the other day on their show is that if it wasn't problems on the team, they wouldn't be looking for a coach. So if the team was winning and the team had a great offensive line, had great quarterback play, they wouldn't be looking for a head coach. So obviously something has to be wrong if that said team is looking for a head coach. So Sean Payton already knows if he goes to the Broncos, what's the problem? Quarterback play, okay? He got to decide whether he's going to let Russell Wilson be a pocket passer or let him run around. That's a decision he got to make. Same thing with the Cardinals. Are we going to let Kyler Murray be a pocket passer or are we going to let him run around because he can't read defense? How do you make him learn how to read defense? Do we put that back in his contract that he has to study defense every 2 hours a day, study his playbook, study defense 2 hours a day after practice? Maybe you implement that back in his contract, restructure it, or at least get him to commit to it without putting it in his contract. Go to the Texans. That whole team is a mess. I can't even remember who their quarterback is. Let's talk about the Panthers. Quarterback problems. That team's a mess. Quarterback problems. Again, they finished second in the division, beat everybody in the division at least once. You know, so it's a lot of, you know, all the places that are, same thing with the Saints. If the Saints want to bring him back, what do we have? Quarterback problems. We have a problem at the quarterback position. Do we get rid of Jameis Winston? Or maybe Sean Payton goes back in there and says, we're going back to the basics with you. We're going to give you another chance. We're going to go back to the basics with you and see if you can get caught up. Now, to Jameis Winston's credit, I think the biggest thing with Jameis Winston wasn't really the interceptions. I think it was more so his injuries. He's injury prone now. Every time you turn around, it's something that he done tweaked. Andy Dalton stepped in. I think, really, to be honest with you, Andy Dalton gives us the best chance to win while we get a young quarterback out the draft and get him ready. I think we need to go to the FCS Division I championship, which is going to be a quarterback out of North Dakota State, or a quarter out of SDU, South Dakota University. I would look there for a quarterback because you probably can come up with a Trey Lance for the 49ers. You probably can find a good Trey Lance or Carson Wentz, okay? That's what I'm thinking. Across the monitor also, they're saying no point in coming. Aaron Rodgers saying no point in coming back if you don't think you can win at all. Has Aaron Rodgers played his last game for Green Bay? Aaron Rodgers, quote, no point in coming back if you don't think you can win at all. Do you guys agree with that? Call in to the show at 515-602-9687 and let's discuss it. Again, the call in to the show is 515-602-9687 to discuss any of these topics with the host. We're going to go off into a quick station break and we'll be right back. Stand by. To the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. I am your host, Romero Ferran, a.k.a. the Late Night Dog, kicking it with you live in the early morning on the Stokers and Beer Radio Show. Stokers and Beer is the official platform for the professional armchair quarterback to call in and talk about the sport he or she loves the most. To call in to the show and debate the host or correct the host about any of these topics and conversations, the telephone number to call in is 515-602-9687. 515-602-9687. To call into the show. Call into the show, raise your hand in queue, and then we'll come to you, and then when you come on the show, just state your first and last initial, first initial, your first name, first initial, your last name, and the state you're calling in from. Don't announce the city, don't announce your whole name, because we want you to stay discreet on the show in case you're supposed to be at work and not being on the radio. Today's topic is NBA Tuesday Night Action Recap. The host with the Bay Pro Armchair Quarterbacks regarding the sport they love in front of a live global listening audience. Topics covered will be NBA action from Tuesday night. Also, scores and action from NCAA men's and women's sports, NHL, and news from NFL and Major League Baseball. Went over all of that, their stuff and everything. So I'm going to take some time to get off into some spring football stuff for our street free agents out there that's looking for opportunities to play professional football at their most immediate level to attain film, to move up, and possibly get an NFL summer camp opportunity. It can happen if you just take the following steps. So anyway, the reason why I like to do this is because we got a lot of street free agents out there that could, you know, use my services, because right now, you know, a lot of guys are sitting back saying, oh yeah, man, I'm going to go to the NFL. I'm going to the NFL. I don't need no help. I've been told I'm good everywhere I played at, from Pop Warner to high school football. I've been told everywhere that I'm a good player. So I should be a shoe-in. I should be a shoe-in for the National Football League. So a guy will sit around all spring and then going into the NFL, NFL draft. Okay, you didn't get invited to an NFLPA Bowl. You didn't get invited to the East-West Shrine Bowl. You didn't get invited to the Senior Bowl. You didn't get invited to the NFL Combine. You didn't do none of that. You didn't get at college, you didn't do a junior day and get a verifiable draft ranking going into your senior year. Your senior year, you didn't get offered a pro day. So my question to you guys out there, how are you going to the NFL? If you didn't do a junior day and Pro Football Focus has already started writing about you, Pro Football Focus and ESPN and all these different media companies, if they're not already writing about you or writing about your school, which would give you some exposure, you're not on the draft board. You think you're on the draft board because you're thinking that, oh, somebody out there know that I exist. That's not true. If your coaches are sitting there coaching you up and you don't take the time to say, hey, coach, do you know any way I can do a pro day? You know any way I can do a junior day, any way I can do a pro day? Do you know any scouts that you could call to come out here and take a look at me so I can get an opportunity to play professional football in the NFL? And I'm speaking to all of you guys that played Division I FCS HBCU schools, meaning SWAC and MEAC football, dropping down from there. NCAA Division II, NCAA Division III, and dropping down from that, NAIA programs. NAIA programs, you definitely need to help the most because you don't have an NCAA affiliation. You are an NAIA school, and they kind of look at it. I don't know how they look at you guys. You know, the way I see it is that, well, factually, I know this. You don't get any invites. You don't get any scouts coming out there. The NFL does not schedule a scout to go to NAIA schools. I think I might change that, though. I'm going to call my good friend Troy Benson in the NFL front office and start pushing that for NFL scouts to come out and see you guys. I think I'm going to really push for that. I'm going to talk to Troy Benson. I'm going to send an email to Troy Benson today, matter of fact. You know, I like helping people. And, you know, sometimes when you have a platform like mine and you're educating, you know, things come into your mind to what you need to do. And so I think my next step today is going to be hitting up Troy Benson about making it mandatory that NFL teams come out and give NAI teams a look. You know, because and I'm going to explain that it's hard because those NAIA programs don't get the respect. It's almost like, it seems like they look at it like it's elevated high school football, like players are playing a fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth year of high school football. And And it's almost like you could say they look at they look at your college experience as an NAIA player is like your first year you a freshman, elevated freshman, second year elevated sophomore, third year elevated junior, and fourth year, you know, you're a low level college senior. Or maybe you could equivalent you could be the equivalent of a your experience is equivalent of an NCAA D3 freshman. That's kind of like the way I see them seeing NAIA schools, and we know that's not all true. It definitely for a lot of programs like Marion, they're like a powerhouse. I think Kentucky Wesleyan. No, Kansas Wesleyan. I think they were pretty good at one time. So like Kansas Wesleyan, Marion, you know, those are schools that I know off the top of my head that really did well. But I just want to give more exposure to the NAIA program. So I'm gonna hit up my good friend Troy Vincent, and I'm gonna throw a calls out there to try to make. I'm gonna head up getting scouts to come out there and see you guys. Because you deserve it. But going back to my original topic, if you didn't have a junior day at your college, a pro day at your college, or a pro day scheduled at somebody else's college, you're not on the draft board. The junior day is what Pro Football Focus starts to write about, and people like ESPN, they follow Pro Football Focus, and then they start writing about you. Pro Football Focus is just like that. Is the data sharing service to all these different scouts and different media outlets. When they're writing about you or your program, you know, you can get a draft ranking. But if you don't have a draft, if you did a junior day, but you didn't get a verifiable draft ranking with that junior day going into your senior year, you're not on the draft board. And then as far as even being considered to be put on the draft board, if your school didn't offer a pro day or get you scheduled to do a pro day at somebody else's school, which that's hard to do a lot of times, then you're not going to be offered an opportunity to get on the draft board, you know. And then, you know, trying to get into camp, that's going to be difficult because after the draft is over with, these scouts and these personnel directors, they won't know to call you because they don't know anything about you. It's not the fact that you can't play. It's just the fact about exposure. Here lately, what I've been doing is something called the Manifest Destiny Program. The Manifest Destiny Program is where I take a list of all the schools, NAIA, and currently I'm on NCAA Division III. I'm finishing them out. All the NAIA programs in the NCAA Division III, NCAA Division II, and FCS Division I historical black colleges and universities. I reach out to all the coaches in all of those programs and ask them one thing: do you have any players now that the season is over with? Do you have any players that can play football at the next, do you have any players that you could recommend to play pro football at some professional level? And so what I do is, like, currently I'm going in alphabetical order at each program. Like, I'm currently finishing up the Manifest Destiny program with my NCAA Division III athletes, Division I NCAA Division III football programs. Today I'll be working on the F's, and I think that's going to be like Fraley Dickinson or one of those schools, and I think they're in New Jersey. I'll be reaching out to them, and then I'll put up, hey, if your program started with the letter F, meaning like Fraley Dickerson, if your program started with the letter F, you can reach out to your coach with my email and ask, hey, coach, did you recommend me to play pro football to this guy? Here is his email. So I'm basically trying to get the athlete to take the responsibility of finding out, is the coach recommending me to move up if I want to continue my professional football career to keep trying to go to the highest level I can get to. Maybe that's NFL, maybe that's USFL, maybe it's XFL, maybe it's Indoor Football League, maybe it's Fan Control Football, maybe it's National Arena League. I don't know how far you're going to go, but you don't know if you don't try. And if I don't know about you, I can't help you. So I reach out to the coaches and say, hey, do you have any players that can play at some professional level now that the season is over with? I mainly look for offensive linemen and quarterbacks because that's what everybody needs, especially right now. It's springtime. A lot of rosters are full, but they need offensive linemen. So I ask directly for offensive linemen and quarterbacks in most cases. But if your coach don't have any offensive linemen or quarterbacks at your program, they may have you as a great DB, a great wide receiver, a great running back, a great tight end. They can also recommend you, even though in some cases I may specifically ask for offensive lineman and quarterback. In other cases, I may just ask for whatever they got. So meaning, like for the FCS D1 HBCU programs, I ask for whoever you got that can play, send them my way. My biggest focus, though, is on offensive linemen and quarterbacks. But at that level, I'll take them because y'all all D3. I'm sorry, all Division I athletes at the FCS level. Even though it's HBCU programs, they get overlooked a lot. I'm trying to help everybody that those coaches at that level, at the D1 level, feel like can play. Now moving down to D2 and below, D2, D3, NAIA, I specifically ask for offensive linemen and quarterbacks because right now I know, like I said before, in spring football, whether that's Fan Control Football, Indoor Football League, National Arena League, Champions Indoor Football League, and whatever below all that, I know that they need offensive linemen and quarterbacks. However, you can still contact your coach and say, did you recommend me, coach? Although he was asking for offensive linemen and quarterbacks, did you recommend me, coach? Because I was a hell of a running back for you. I was a hell of a tight end for you. You got to reach out with my email to your coaches and say, coach, did you recommend me? And if you didn't recommend me, could you recommend me to this guy? Here's his email address. Pull up his email and respond with my name. Because unfortunately, you might have played at a program that just had a weak quarterback or a weak offensive line. That's fine. I'm just giving your coach the opportunity. If he don't have offensive linemen or quarterbacks to recommend to me, he can at least recommend the other players that were good. If you don't follow the instructions that I put out on my Twitter page, which is at Ferran Sports, at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, at Ferran Sports on Twitter, if you're not following the instructions, meaning if at this point, if you had an NAIA school, all of your coaches have been reached out to, whether I called all of them and emailed them, because that's what the Manifest Destiny program was created for. And I'm going to reach out to Troy Vincent with the Manifest Destiny program, letting them know all the things that I've done for NAIA schools to try to help get scouts and get eyes on you guys. I called and emailed all your coaches. And right now, currently, I'm finishing up NCAA Division III schools. And I'm going in alphabetical order. Today, I'll be working on programs that start with the letter F. So if your program starts with the letter F, you need to be contacting your coach with my email, rdferran@gmail.com. That's R as in Romeo, D as in dog, F as in Frank, E as in Echo, R as in Romeo, A as in Alpha, N as in Nancy, D as in dog, rdferran@gmail.com. You need to be copying and pasting that to your coach's email and saying you need to reach out to this guy so I can and recommend me to this guy so I can get my pro opportunity at some level that he can put me in place for. I didn't say I was sending you to the NFL. I said I was going to get you off the couch and put you on the football field. Hopefully this spring. If not this spring, you'll be in the system for next spring. I'm going to put you in what I call my prove it system. My Prove It system is where you pay $600 down, $600 doing 35 days. That's 30 days with a 5-day grace period. It's a $1,200 package for to get into my Prove It system, where basically I take your film and resume and put it on the right coach's desk. Put it on the right coach's desk for you to get your pro opportunity. And it's not just for you, and getting into my Prove It system, that helps you play between this spring and next spring and beyond. But at the same time, the $1,200 total is to get into my network, because once you're done playing football, based on your degree, based on your interest, based on your talents, and based on whether you can be mentored to do what I do, you can move up as I move up. I'm going to continue to move up in this business to the executive level for some organization or for some professional team. As I move up, you move up. That's, you're paying me not only to play football, but you're also paying me to be in my network as I keep meeting different people and getting in different networks and getting in different scenes, getting in different doors behind the scenes. I can recommend you for different situations. After you get done playing, what if a team needs a scout, a head coach, assistant coach, a personnel director, assistant personnel director. If I'm behind the scenes, I can help you get in position to continue your career in professional sports. It's more than one way to make a bag. It's more than one way to make a bag in professional sports. You just got to be willing to do other things. You may not make it in professional sports as a player, but you want to have as much pro experience playing football on your resume for different situations in pro sports. So even if you don't make it to the NFL, that's why I don't get on here promising guys, oh yeah, I'm going to get you to the NFL. I don't get on here promising guys that stuff. I don't do that. All I do is tell you that I'm going to basically take your film and resume, put it on the right desk right now, put it on the right desk to see if we can move you up as far as we can go. Some of you may make it to the NFL. Others may get close to the U.S., to the NFL, meaning CFL, XFL, USFL. I put players in everything except the NFL, and that's not because of my talent. That's because whatever I was presenting, putting it on people's desks, you didn't have the talent at the time that they were looking for. I got all my certifications from Steinberg Sports. Steinberg Sports represents who? Patrick Mahomes, Tua Tagovailoa, Jerry Jeudy. Okay? Those are three names that we know. That's who Steinberg Sports represents. That's where I got my education as far as sports business certification goes, Steinberg Sports and Entertainment. I also got my global sports management certification at New York University in a program put on online from Yellow Brick. New York University in conjunction with Yellow Brick Online Learning, I got my global sports management certification. So it's not like you're dealing with somebody that doesn't know what he's doing. All those certifications cost a lot of money. One costs $900, Steinberg Sports. One costs $1,300. That's Yellow Brick Learn Online in New York University. Add that up. 13 and 9, what is that? $2,200, right? $1,309. Somewhere up in like $2,200, if I'm correct. I'm not good at math in my head. But what I'm saying is, if I paid $1,300 for one certification and almost $1,000 for the other one, come on, people. You do the math. You do the math. I'm just trying to tell you that I had to invest in my career. So you're paying me $1,200, but no matter what you say, I still pay more just for one certification then I'm asking you to even pay me. And when you're paying me, I can make what I'm asking you to pay me on a job. That's a two-week paycheck, people. But I'm working with you from contract to contract, meaning at this level, it's $1,200. Moving up, we go to the CFL, USFL, XFL, we renegotiate for me to keep representing you because now you're making more money. You can afford more of, you can afford to pay me more for to stay in business with you. Currently it's $600 down, $600 doing 35 days with a 5-day grace, the 30 days with a 5-day grace period, or you can pay the whole $1,200 up front to be fully vested in me. Okay? Now, how do you make the payment? You can make a cash app, $FerranOne. Cash app, that's the dollar sign, my last name, capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, the number one. Capital sign, $FerranOne, to put down your first initial installment of $600. Or you can do use PayPal. You can request a PayPal scan code. You can DM me at FerranSports on Twitter. That's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, at FerranSports. Again, that's at capital F-E-R-R-A-N-D, capital S-P-O-R-T-S, at FerranSports on Twitter. DM me there, and then you can ask me for a PayPal scan code when you're ready to pay it. You can DM me, or you can text me at 619-655-1581. You can DM me or text me the following: I am ready to execute the service by making the payment today. Text me or email, text me. You can text me. You can email me at rdferran@gmail.com. That's RD. That's Romeo Delta Foxtrot Echo Romeo Romeo Alpha Nancy Dog. rdferran@gmail.com. You can text me. I'm sorry. You can email me there. You can text me at 619-655-1581. Again, 619-655-1581. You can email, text, or DM me on Twitter at Ferran Sports. And when you do that, you say, can you please provide me payment information because I am ready to execute the service by paying the fee today. Meaning, don't contact me unless you're ready to pay the fee at that time. Because once you contact me, I'm going to be ready to roll. Once I verify your payment, I'm going to execute the service by asking you for the things I need for your package. Your package will consist of film, resume, meaning, when I say resume, it'll be all of your measurables, height, weight, 40-yard dash time, reps lifting, reps on 225 pounds on the bench, any awards and stats coming out of college. Dropping down from that, a brief bio, no more than two paragraphs, explaining from high school, why didn't you go to a D1 college and what were the results? From college, why didn't you go to the NFL? Meaning, why didn't any scouts see you? Why was pro football focus not talking about you or your program? And it's probably going to be more likely, I went to a small school, we didn't get that much exposure. Fine. Say that in your two-paragraph biography. The two-paragraph biography is briefly telling your story from high school to college, college to pro, and where you are right now. Again, from just telling your story from a high school to college, college going off into street free agency as a professional football player, meaning you're waiting for an opportunity to continue to play. That's called a street free agent. I don't say free agent because that term goes alongside of an NFL player, meaning somebody that was on the draft board, but or a person that got invited to camp and got cut. That's an NFL street free agent. When I say street free agent, that means you are not affiliated with any of the two major leagues, the CFL or the NFL. Because if you went to CFL, the same thing, you could be a CFL free agent. If you was in CFL camp and was a camp cut, or you was on the CFL draft board, I consider those free agents. But a street free agent is somebody that more than likely came from a FCS Division I, as far as my business go, who I service, FCS Division I, historical black colleges and universities, Division III schools, Division II, Division II schools, Division III schools for NCAA, and then all the NAIA schools. If you went to any of those type of programs and you're waiting for an opportunity, meaning you were not on the draft board, you didn't get a camp invite, you are a street free agent. So again, your biography is going to tell the story in two brief paragraphs, your story coming out of high school, why didn't you go to D1, a D1 program, your story coming out of college and going into street free agency, meaning you're at home waiting on a job, working out, training, waiting on a job. I'll ask you to attach two photos to that. One game action photo based on your position. If you're a quarterback, you're throwing the ball. If you're a linebacker, you're making the tackle. If you're a tight end, you're catching the ball. If you're an offensive lineman, you're blocking somebody. A defensive lineman, you're breaking through the line, chasing the quarterback. I'm going to ask you for one photo like that. That's a game action photo. And then one photo showing your face, which I consider a headshot without your helmet in your jersey, your suit and tie, or a polo, whatever one that your school requires you to take for the team website. Polo, headshot, no helmet with your polo on, your suit, coat, and tie, or your jersey. Moving from that, you'll take your highlights. I like all my highlights on a YouTube link. If you have it on Huddle right now, that's cool, but I recommend you hurry up and change it to a YouTube link, because sometimes Huddle links get discarded when your season is over and they're making room for the next class in their Huddle system. Sometimes they have to delete old film, old highlights. So if you got your highlights on a Huddle link, I'll take it with a Huddle right now, but I would request that you hurry up and change it to a YouTube link just in case it gets deleted. So that's how that's going to go. In the subject line of the email, it'll read your name, your position, your school. Your name, your position, your school. In the body, again, it's going to have your height, weight, how many reps you can do on 225 pounds, your 40 time. Moving below, then any awards and stats from college. Moving below that, your brief two paragraphs of your biography, meaning your journey from high school to college, college to pro. That it'll read that, your journey from high school to college and college to street free agency, looking for a job. That bio will answer all the questions that the scouts and the personnel director for certain teams would need to know. You'll have your highlights right below that, preferably in a YouTube link. If not, send your Huddle, but hurry up and change it to YouTube as soon as possible so your highlights don't get deleted out of your college's system. Dropping down from that, you will attach two photos to the email in an attachment, one game action photo and one headshot in jersey, suit and tie, or polo, meaning you're going to take a picture without your helmet on so they can see who you are. That's how I'm going to send your package out to different scouts, personnel directors, coaches. Scouts, personnel directors, coaches will get your package at all the levels in my network. IFL, Indoor Football League, who is already partnered with the XFL. I'll send it off to Hub Camp. That's at Hub on Twitter, at capital H-U-B on Twitter, who is partnered with the USFL. And all other different teams and programs that's in my network to try to get you on the football field playing football. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and get ready to close out the show. I want everybody to remember to stay light, to be light, not darkness. Be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. Pray for those around us that are going through health crisis, that are going through mental health crisis. Pray for all of those, especially the children. Pray for peace, that this war in Ukraine stops soon. They already got soldiers over here, I believe at Fort Sill over here, training on Patriot missiles. The Ukrainian soldiers are here training on the new Patriot missile system. So it's like this war doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon, but prayer changes things. So pray for peace around the world. Pray for the Russian soldiers who don't want to be be fighting this war, killing their own people. Pray for the Russian soldiers, Russian people that don't want to be drafted into this war, meaning Russian young men that they're trying to draft into this war that don't want any part of it. Pray for the Ukrainian soldiers and the Ukrainian people who are trying to defend the country and trying to and the ones that are directly affected by this war, which is the Ukrainian people and the Ukrainian soldiers. Pray for peace around the world that this war stops. With that being said, make sure you get your flu shots, get your COVID booster, keep your hand sanitizer on you, keep your face mask on you, and keep everybody safe in the household and in the community so we can keep these COVID and flu numbers down and all this RSV stuff going on affecting the children. With that being said, I'll be back on the show tomorrow. I apologize for my show not being on yesterday, but I did try to go over some of the topics that I was going to go over on yesterday, but we had a technical difficulty within the Blog Talk system and my platform. But we're back up today, thank God. And tomorrow we should be back on, God willing. But we'll be back on, God willing, long as there's no technical problems. And the good Lord didn't call me home. I'll be back tomorrow. But anyway, with that being said, again, remember, be light, not darkness. Be love, not hate. And there is only one race. That's the human race. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in, or thanks for listening to the replay. Have a great day. We're going to set black and fade off. Have a good day.